the folks that have volunteered to clean, if you would stay after church tonight, see Miss Kelly, talk to her, get things lined out, do that. That would be a blessing. That would help. That would help her. She wouldn't have to try to chase you down. Wonder if you were going to show up. And I think we miscommunicated Sunday night. Maybe you thought that we were okay then. We're okay. All right. Good enough. I like to be okay. All right. You're in Romans chapter 5, right? Look at verse 1, if you would. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're going to leave off reading there. I want to take these five verses and preach to you a little bit tonight about benefits. Benefits. You know, today, if people go and try to get a job, a lot of times it's kind of normal now, kind of a natural thing to inquire, well, hey, what kind of benefits come with this position? Now, sometimes the only benefits are more work, more pressure, and more responsibility, all right? More stress, and that's it, you know? But on occasion, you luck out, and of course, that's not what people want to hear. I don't want to hear it's going to be more stressful and all of that. But hey, the truth is we want a job that offers paid vacations and insurance, retirement benefits, 401ks, and all of those kind of things, you know, and that's wonderful, and it's good if you can. That's a great thing, and if you can do that, it's a wonderful benefit, you know, if you can find that kind of deal. Matter of fact, sometimes the benefits will offset a salary that's a little bit lower, all right? I mean, if you get nowadays, if you get a job and it's really got good insurance, you're blessed, all right? That is a good thing. Well, we're not talking about insurance tonight. We're talking about Christianity. And Christianity comes, I believe, with some marvelous benefits. Just marvelous benefits, amazing things that oftentimes people overlook or kind of discount them, don't think about them too much. And now you say, well, obviously one of the benefits is heaven. I know that, all right? I know that. But heaven doesn't come in until you end your life on this earth, all right? But there's other benefits, okay? There's other benefits. Say, yeah, well, forgiveness. Yep, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're forgiven. But there's some more things that come with salvation. I want you to notice there, it's what it says. We see them right here in our text. Notice it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Being justified by faith. Now, what is that? Well, that's salvation. That's salvation. So since, hey, you've got salvation, the Bible says we have peace with God. Amen. Peace with God. Now, wait a minute. That's not the same as the peace of God. That's something entirely different, all right? And the peace of God's a wonderful thing. But the Bible tells us right here, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You say, what in the world is that talking about? Well, hey, before you were saved, you were at war with God. I mean, we don't think about it, but we were. Before you were saved, you were at war with God. You were going the exact opposite way from the Lord. Let me give you some verses. Look in Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 7 with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. The Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind. Guarantee you, that's the mind you had before you got saved. It's enmity, the Bible says, against God. But that's not all. Turn a little further in the New Testament. Go over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, there's a passage of scripture here that deals with this thing. We were at war with God before we got saved. And it's a wonderful thing to be at peace with God. And that comes by justification by faith. Look there, Ephesians chapter 2. Begin reading, look along there in verse 12. Notice what the Bible says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. For he is our peace, Amen. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, listen, what a wonderful passage of scripture that tells us, hey, when you got saved, being justified by faith, therefore being justified by faith, what do we have? Well, we got peace with God. Peace with God. Where there's no longer enmity between us, all right? There's no longer a problem there. There's no longer a fight going on. There's no longer a disagreement. If you will, we've signed a peace treaty, all right? An old-time preacher's passed away, made this statement. He said the peace treaty between you and God was signed by God in his own blood and ratified by your faith. Boy, what a blessing. Peace. Peace with God. That peace with God came, why? Because you were justified by faith. You were justified by faith. Your sin was removed, and the way was made for you to approach the throne of grace. Amen. Would you think about that? Would you just think about that a little bit? Consider it. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with Him. Why? Because you've been justified by faith. First great benefit of salvation, immediately there's peace with God. Immediately there's peace with God. But that's not the end of it. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Notice what verse 2 says. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Hey, we have access to grace. Once you get born again, your faith in God puts you in the position where God can bestow His grace upon you. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Notice what it says, that grace wherein ye stand. You said, what is that? That's your salvation. That is your salvation. That's where you stand. That is your standing tonight before God. You stand tonight before God, saved, your sins are forgiven, and you stand at peace with God. That's your standing. Now, your state and your standing are not the same, because I'm fixing to say this. Our standing, now listen close, our standing is one of sinless perfection. Amen. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. We can't live. I didn't say we live sinless perfection. I said our standing is sinless perfection. Why? Because we're covered by the blood of God's own Son. We have His imputed righteousness. Hey, why? Because we've got access to that grace by which we stand. And what a wonderful thing it is to stand before God sinlessly perfect. But wait a minute, that's not your state. Our current state, and that is where and how you live in any given moment. Well, that's kind of up to you. But it can change. You can improve it. Your state might not be too good, all right? Your state might not be too good. I was at home. I came in, and my son was there with his kids, and I thought to myself, I shouldn't have given him the code to get. No, I came in, and he was there with his kids, and, ma'am, my knees were bothering me, and I sat down in my recliner and pulled them back, and I stretched out there. Hey, my state wasn't real good right then physically. But I want to tell you, it got better while I stretched out there. Yeah. And my granddaughter come up, and she said, are you hurting? I said, well, my knee is. And she rubbed it, and I said, if you'll do that, it'll feel better.
Amen, brother. Yes,
it'll feel better. Just do that a little while, all right? Hey, my state improved physically. Hey, and we're not talking about physical. We're talking about our spiritual state. Our state before God, that's according to how you live and how you conduct yourself at any given moment That state can change, but I'll tell you what, your standing is settled if you've been born again. Your standing is settled. And the Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, I want you to know something. Grace is needed for more than just salvation. Amen. We need grace all the time. We need grace for living. We need grace for dying. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and they've talked to me, and they said, you know, preacher, I'm a little bit concerned about death. I said, well, listen, and death was imminent for them. It was coming. They knew it. And I said, listen, God will give you the grace you need to go through it. And by the way, when it's your spouse or it's a loved one, you say, I don't know how I'll be able to take it. God will give you the grace you need. Hey, by justification by faith, we have access to this grace. I'm so glad the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace because we need it. We need it. We need it on so many occasions, not just salvation. Like I said, we need grace for living every day. Lord, give me the grace that I need to get through this situation, all right? We have access to that grace because of justification by faith. Faith is the medium, if you will, that makes it available. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that's one of the benefits of being saved, all right? One of the benefits of justification by faith, we have access. That's why over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, let us come boldly, boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find help in time of need. Why? Because of the grace of God, you can come. You can come. We've got access. You ever stop and think about that? That's a benefit from salvation. Too many times, the only thing we think of, well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'll go to heaven when I die. Well, you can get in on the benefits now. You can get in on the benefits now. You don't have to just wait till you die. You can enjoy those benefits. There's peace with God. There's access to that grace. But I want you to see something else. I want you to notice. I want you to notice the last phrase in verse 2. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then right into verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Maybe you sit there and you say, we do? I'm not sure I do, preacher, all right? You know, I don't really get excited when tribulations come. You say, what are you talking about? I don't tell you, all right? This is where I'm going to spend the rest of the time tonight. We're going to get out early, okay? I'm going to spend the rest of the time right here on this point because I want you to stay with me. You see, I'm convinced that one of the greatest things we get because of justification by faith is a new attitude. Amen. A new attitude. You say, what do you mean? Well, it says there, rejoice. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. Hope. That little thing, that little word of hope. Hey, I believe that brings a new attitude to the believer. I think it should. Amen. In order to bring that new attitude. Hey, before we were saved, we were without hope. We were without God. We were aliens, all right? We were in a strange... Hey, we didn't fit in. We didn't belong. But wait a minute. That hope we've got. Now listen, biblical hope is not merely the idea that maybe, just hopefully, something will happen. That's the hope of mankind. That's human hope. Biblical hope is the assurance that it's already accomplished, all right, or it will definitely be accomplished. That's biblical hope, all right? It's an assured thing. It's a guaranteed thing because it rests upon God's promise, and the Bible tells us very simply, he cannot lie, all right? He cannot lie. So when we talk about biblical hope, and we talk about rejoicing and hope of the glory of God. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we're talking about living in expectation of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to live in hope of. Amen. Wonderful thing. Man, I've talked, you know, we're talking to people, and I'm sure you've talked to folks. All this junk's going on in the world, you know. Everything going on in our country, and not only the disease, but the unrest, the anarchy almost in a lot of places. And you said, what do you think about that? Well, it makes me want to look to the eastern sky. Yeah. Makes me want to get up every morning and come out and look and say, Lord, are you coming today? All right? Are you coming today? Because we live in the hope of the glory of God, His return. He's coming back, all right? He's coming back, and that's a new attitude. Look, before you got saved, you didn't want Him to come back. I know people today that I've heard people talk about. Now, they're immature folks. They're definitely immature Christians, and I've heard some say, well, I don't want Him to come back until I can do this and this and this and this. Hey, I'll be honest with you. If He'll come back and I'm saved, all of this and this and this ain't going to matter. It's not going to count for anything. It'll just be in the way, all right? But what a blessing to think to be able to live with the expectation of His return. Amen. His return. Everybody's, you know, concerned. I saw this deal today. They were injecting this thing into some kind of chip inside somebody. How easy it was and all that. And people say, well, the mark of the beast. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast till the man of sin shows up, okay? You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast till the man of sin shows up. And, we're going to be gone. We're going to be gone. I'm not worried about it, all right? I'm not worried about it. Now, nobody's chipping me, okay? Now, I don't want anything to do with that kind of thing because I don't want anybody knowing where I'm at. You said, where are you planning on going? None of your business sometimes, all right? And if I want to get away, I want to get away, all right? You said, well, they can track you with your phone. Come on, I can leave that thing at home, all right? So I don't have to do it, but I'm not worried about it as the mark of the beast, all right? Hey, but we've got the promise of God. He's coming. What an attitude. But look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 again, would you? A little more, all right? And not only so, not only are we rejoicing. Hey, by the way, that rejoicing, that's one of the things that's displayed in our singing. Amen. Our singing. Hey, listen, Christianity is a faith that, you know, Christians ought to be a singing people. Amen. Singing people. You know, I've heard people talk a lot about the Buddhist monks and their chants. Man, I don't get excited about somebody chanting. I don't get excited about some Hare Krishna guy going through, you know, I'm beating a little jump and jumping up and down, saying the same thing over and over again. I don't get excited about the Muslim call to prayer. By the way, I don't see anything that they're not known as singing people, but God's people are. Amen. Because we're the folks in this old world that we've got something to sing about. But they don't, because they're not looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I, that's one thing. That rejoicing is displayed in our singing. I mean, I don't know about you, but you say, well, I don't like to sing. Well, you know, maybe you ought to rethink that deal just a little bit, all right? I've found myself going through the store whistling, you know, some great tune. I found myself whistling Get the New Look from the old book, you know, and I found myself going through the store singing it a little bit. I was out Monday on my patio Monday and studying out there. I like to get out there if I can and study, and it was raining, boy, and it was nice out there. And there was a squirrel over digging in the yard, and I start singing. When I'd start singing, he'd stop and look. But at least he didn't run off. So that was a good thing, all right? Man, listen, we're to be singing people. Why? Because we're rejoicing. Amen. We're rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord's coming back for us. But look again, verse 3, it says, not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Now you say, no, I don't. Well, wait a minute, let's read a little further. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Wait a minute, doesn't stop there. And patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, we glory in tribulations. New attitude. New attitude. Hopefully you don't go through life singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." I hope that's not your favorite song, all right? But sometimes we may feel that way. Well, wait a minute. You say we glory in tribulations. Why? Because we know that troubles and tribulations will never change our status in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing can touch that. Nothing can touch that. You've been born again. You're saved according to the Word of God. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You're saved. You're just rating the redemption of the body, all right? Nothing can touch that. You can go through some struggles, you can go through some troubles, but none of it will change your status in Christ, all right? And, hey, by the way, none of it compares to the glory to come.
Amen.
None of it compares to the glory to come. Hey, our tribulations here, which are but for a season, they don't compare to the glory that's to come. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God that you have, He'll comfort you in your troubles. He'll comfort you in your troubles. And you know what? Your troubles won't last. They won't last. They'll pass. They'll pass away. They'll be gone. There was several things I needed to do this week, and I was thinking, oh, man, I did not want to do them. And I thought, well, I've got to take care of this. It's got to be done, you know. And I'd wake up in the middle of the night and couldn't go back to sleep. And those things would begin to go through my mind. And I'd think, man, why? I can't do a thing about it right now, you know. No sense worrying about it. And finally got around taking care of it. You know what? It turned out to be nothing.
Right.
Turned out to be nothing. Hey, I want to tell you, troubles, they're not going to last. But there's one thing that tribulation will do. It'll give you patience. And wait a minute. You see what the Bible says patience gives you? Gives you experience. Gives you experience. That's what it says, all right? Patience, all right? Know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Good thing to have experience. All right? And experience then, guess what? Produces more hope. Produces more hope, all right? Patience helps you go through the experience. And experiences we meet gives you hope for something better to come. Hey, listen, the more experience you get as a Christian, the more experience you get as a Christian, the more you realize what you have in Christ. The more you realize what you have in Christ. When you got saved, you did not realize. The only thing you probably were thinking is, man, I've escaped hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
Well, that's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not all you got in Christ.
Amen.
You got a whole lot more than that. And you don't have to wait to death to enjoy it.
Right.
You know, I've got a life insurance policy, but the truth of the matter is I'm not going to enjoy it.
No, sir.
My wife will get the benefit of it. But it's not enough that she can just, you know, move to the Fiji or something. So not to worry about that. But, hey, I'm not going to enjoy it. And it only pays off when you die, right? And I tell you, I'm so glad that what I got in Christ. And as I go through life, the more I find out that I have in Him. That hope that's there. That experience, the more experience I go through, and especially the more experience I have with the Lord Himself, the better you realize it is. The more you trust Him. Songwriter said, the more I trust Him, the more I love Him, nothing good from me can He deny. The longer I know Him, the better I can show Him. I wouldn't stop now. I couldn't stop now if I tried. He gets sweeter as the days go by. We've sang the chorus the last two Sunday mornings in Sunday school here in the auditorium. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. But you know what? There's a vast host of Christians really don't grasp that. Because they've never really learned to trust Him and to experience what He wants to do in their life. And we won't allow Him to lead us. We won't, and we get to the tribulation. We go, nope, I'm not doing that. We get to that and we say, I'm done. I don't want that. But hey, if we'd take that, give us some patience. Patience gives us some experience. And experience gives us more hope, all right? More hope. Now, it's an eternal hope. You notice there what the Bible says, that maketh not ashamed. Man. What a blessing. You stop and think about that just a little, would you? Hey, don't let sin, don't let Satan rob you of that attitude of hope. Okay, don't let that happen. Just don't let that happen. Don't let sin and Satan rob you. The world lives in despair, absolute distress, desperation. The world lives that way, all right, because they don't know the hope that you ought to have as a child of God. So they're always stressed out. Hey, that's why you hear about some of these multimillionaire Hollywood types taking their own life. Why? Because they're in despair. And you hear people say, well, why'd they do that? They have everything that you could want. No, they don't. They don't have Christ. Amen. They don't have Him. I don't tell you, you can get a lot of stuff with money, but you need the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, man, but I thank God for the peace that I have with Him. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder, am I still His child? That's been settled. That's been settled. You know, when I was a kid at home, even when my brother would get me in trouble, even usually we'd get in trouble together, and Dad might have to get out the belt, work us over. You know, when he did that, I never, ever even thought, though, that, well, we keep it up, He's going to disown us. No, never worried about that. I never thought, well, hey, Bubba, we better stop. You know, He's going to give us our clothes and put us out on the porch. No, I never worried about that. Never worried about that. By the same token, I'll tell you what, I got peace with God, and I never worry about Him saying, I'm through with you. I'm done. No, I'm His child. I'm His child. I've got peace with God. But not only that, I've access to even more grace. More grace. I need that grace. I've got access. And He's given me a new attitude. He's helped me to see, you know what? There's hope. There's hope. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how difficult times are, how troublesome things might be. There's hope. There's hope. There's a better day a coming. The sun is coming up. In the morning. He is. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
Do you enjoy that? Enjoy that tonight? Hey, if you're not, you're not enjoying all the benefits you've got, all right? You're not enjoying all the benefits you've got. Don't let them slip away. Enjoy them now. Don't just wait on salvation to pay off when you die. Enjoy it now. Enjoy it now. Heavenly Father, help us. Now, Lord, I pray that You'd help us see the truth of the Word of God. Help us to know, Lord, that, hey, we've got some great benefits because we've been justified by grace. We've been justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have, we've got peace. Lord, we've got access. We've got a new attitude. Lord, we've got a hope the world knows nothing about. Lord, it's that hope that made it possible for Paul and Silas in the jail cell that night to sing and rejoice. Hey, they knew a better day was coming. They knew this light affliction, which is but for a moment. hey, doesn't compare to the glory to come. Lord, help us to see it. Help us to live that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. It's good to have you tonight. Hope you have a good rest of the week.